mean, it just makes you think, like, I always, whenever I think about stuff like that, like, who is the guy that got this wrong? You know what I mean? Like, who are all those people that did, had to do it the wrong way before they probably
he picked like the poison dart.
Don't lick it. Don't lick the toad. No, that killed the last guy. Like, you have to just squeeze it, right? They squeeze it and then they scrape it and then they dry it and then they flake it up and then we smoked it. And it is wild. It has very similar DMT properties, but it was less, I don't know. It was very like, you felt very optimistic afterwards. You felt very good from it. Like not like high, but like euphoric, like DMT wrapped in love. Somebody said that to me. I was like, oh yeah, that's 100% what it was.
Well, I'd like to pull this back into the whole like distrust of government and the octopus of control. And it seems like there's a very real evidence that indicates the psychedelic movement, if not completely designed by alphabet agencies in the government, but it was very much given a nice little oomph, right? Like Robert Gordon Wasson's the one that went and brought magic mushrooms and he gives it the Henry Luce of Skull and Bones and Time Life. And that gets perpetuated. And you've got like the Ashbery and MK Ultra and the LS, like all of these different things. Does any of that sour psychedelics in your mind and like, oh, it might be a psyop?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, I personally have never really enjoyed LSD. And part of it is because it's chemical, you know, synthetic chemicals, and it just felt different. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. If I had a preference, and of course I'm an adult and I do, and I can make my choice, I choose the natural stuff. And if they've co-opted mushrooms with government agents, good luck. You know what I mean? Like, good luck with that. Because mushrooms are amazing. And that's the gateway right there. For everybody I know, the gateway is mushrooms. And now they have them in chocolate bars. Like I won't give the name, but I was at a place speaking recently, and there's a guy in there that had mushroom chocolate bars for sale. You can get them.
They keep way longer. There's also gummies. A lot of people make mushroom gummies now, which are fun. Yep, the only problem is that once you turn it into a snack kind of food, if you found yourself in possession of said snack food, you can forget that you're not just snacking on chocolates or gummies and that it's actual medication, which can turn into a whole thing.
But the first time I ever ate a Colorado based weed brownie, I didn't read the instructions like a moron. I just ate the whole thing.
I say like take like a sixth of it or like a quarter of it and then you
for sure eat it. And I was like, I took the whole thing and then I was like, oh shit. After I'd eaten it, then I was like, this is probably, I told my wife, that's what it was, where we were getting married. And I said,
this was on your wedding day.
This was the Thursday before the wedding, which was Saturday. And the reason why I know is because it was Thursday night football. I was just getting ready to start. I ate the whole brownie. My father-in-law came over and it was like, hey, mind if I watched a game with you? I was like, oh, and I watched that entire football game and nothing happened. And I was like, dude, this brownie must be defective. You know what I mean? Like the thing that everybody who eats too many edibles says, but I had already eaten it like hours earlier. And I remember the game ended and he's like, well, I'm out of here. And he like left. I was like, all right, cool. I thank God I didn't embarrass myself. 2 minutes after he was out, everything kicked in and I went into like cartoon land. I was like, holy shit. I remember crawling to the bed. I was so fucked up. I had to have 1 foot on the floor. I was like, I ate too many of the, I ate that entire thing. My wife was like, I can't believe you ate the entire thing, you dumbass. You were only supposed to eat like a quarter of it. I'm like, oh, I love brownies. I love weed. What do you want from me?
when you have one of those experiences, and we'll wrap it up with this. When you have one of these experiences, psychedelic, or you eat a weed brownie or 4 or 5, do you get paranoid and start thinking about the government's after me? Or do you get into like a positive zone where it's like, here's how I can improve things? Or
no, I don't. I have taken an approach to this whole, the information that I research and write about and talk about is really heavy duty. Like, real, you get into some dark stuff, right? And as a defense mechanism, I have found, and also as sort of a method of explaining the information in a way that's a little easier to digest, I have found that the best way to deal with it is to use humor. And to understand that, you know, there's nothing funny about depopulation, obviously. But you find sort of the ironies and the oh my God, you have to laugh at how insane this is and this sort of stuff. And I try to come at this from a place of like, let's laugh at the insanity of it all, right? To keep myself sane. So that's how I approach all of, whether it's my writing. I've had people say like, your books are funny. Like, I mean, considering you're talking about like the worst shit in the world, they're pretty funny. I'm like, well, my like hypocrisy is funny. I had to put 400 footnotes in the book. Hypocrisy is funny, not because of me. It's funny because I was putting all these stories in there. I was showing all of this like blatant hypocrisy and this insanity. But I had so many footnotes because I had to show where the story was real, because otherwise people would just assume I was making it up to try to be funny. But what I was showing was like, no, like I couldn't be this funny. This is reality, man. Like the Oregon people getting arrested for collecting rainwater. You know what I mean? Like when you find that story in your, or whatever it is, you know, things like that, like these preposterous stories that you find, and then you can point to it and people are like, oh shit, like that's real. Oh no. You know? So my approach to this whole thing is like, let's laugh at the insanity of it all. Doesn't mean not to take it seriously, of course, right? We're talking about important things, so you got to sort of be paying attention, but like, don't let it like get you down either.
I
don't think we work well if we're like, oh, defeated. Like, oh, like you're going to let Donald Rumsfeld beat you? Really? Fuck that. You got to fight back. You know what I mean? You got to be defiant, you know, at the very least, just be like, I'm not complying with you guys. I'm not doing what you want me to do, you know? So, that's where I am right now. Like, let's laugh at it all. You know, like with the election coming up, like get your popcorn. Either way, there's going to be something stupid going on and something crazy that we're going to talk about.
I think we're on the same wavelength as that, because that's the whole inspiration that I started Paranoid American and making comic books and everything, was that premise of like, here's these really serious topics, eugenics, for example. How do you make that funny? How do you turn that into like a thing that is a joke? It's not the easiest thing in the world, but I feel like it's one of the more important things, because it takes the edge off. It makes you, and I'll give you an example of how to make eugenics funny, is when I was researching Alexander Graham Bell. His wife was deaf. Him and her founded a school for deaf children. And by everything on paper, you'd be like, oh, wow, he was like an advocate for people that were deaf. He promoted sign language and all this. But behind the scenes, him and his wife were very pro-eugenics. And his example was that he didn't want any more deaf people in the world. And it's crazy. That's like, his wife was deaf. So there's this inherent humor that's like, he disliked his wife so much that he was just like, let's get rid of all the deaf people.
No more people like my wife. I cannot take it. We can't. This planet cannot handle any more people like my wife. Yeah. 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 So, it's, I mean, you know, you find the humor and you're like, the people that are advocating for like the extermination of the human population look like Harari. And you go, really? You look like a rat. You look like somebody who should be exterminated. And you're going to lecture the rest of us beautiful people, us sweet bastards, about that we need to go. We're taking up too much space on your planet. Well, get out of here, you little elf.
Well, if I'm taking only two things away from our talk, it's smoke DMT and make fun of eugenics. Does that sound pretty accurate?
Yeah. That might be even be the title of this one.
Let's see how far that goes on YouTube.
If it goes on YouTube, then it will definitely get demonetized.
Let's see. We'll give it a test. Maybe we could republish it. We'll change the name to like buy Hyundai and drink Coca-Cola or something.
Yeah. I think everyone, I think your audience will understand what that means. That's a title. That means there's some shit in here that you're not allowed to hear about. So we had to change the name.
Charlie, thanks for coming on. Long overdue. I can only hope that I can even get to three digits. I think we're somewhere around the 60s or something, maybe going into the 70s. But you definitely are sort of like the lighthouse in a way of, you know, trying to get as good as Charlie Robinson, take things the same way with like nice sense of humor and just killing it, man. Like you're introducing nice. David Icke. You're talking in front of Anarchapulco. You're writing books left and right. You're just pumping these things out like you're not even a human. Do you have a Neuralink? Can you at least tell us if you have a Neuralink or not?
I will not take the Neuralink. That is one of my many lines in the sand. I'm not taking any brain chips from these people. No, thank you. I'm good. I'm content to be just a regular non-trans person.
Do you have any books or projects or anything that you want to shout out for people to check out?
Well, actually, The Octopus of Global Control, my first book, is now available as an audiobook. It's out on Audible and Amazon and iTunes and Spotify and everywhere you can get audiobooks. So
that
was long overdue because that was 7 years in the making. I just didn't do it.
Is it your voice?
No, it's Graham from Grimerica.
Oh, outstanding. Yeah, he reads a lot of like the old Manly Palmer Hall books and stuff on YouTube. I love those.
Yep. So, which was cool because they were one of the first shows I did to promote that book back in 2018. I remember going on Grimerica and I was traveling from Denver to Vegas and I did the interview from the Denver airport, like and of course the Denver airport of all airports to do it from, you know, it's the weirdest place around. And I had like a travel microphone. I had it plugged in and I was in a stairwell in the Denver airport doing the Grimerica show to promote the Octopus book. And then years later, the Grimerica guys wound up doing the voice for it. I thought it just seemed appropriate to me that it happened that way.
Now, were you in the stairwell or did you push the square and compass on the Freemason plaque and go into the underground tunnel?
You know, they're doing a lot of renovation work there and they have these barriers that are set up to, you know, because there's construction going on behind there. But they're really nice. They're well done. And it's in the main concourse, the main lot, right where everyone from Denver comes into, goes through security, and then goes out to the different gates from there. And in that space, they have put on these really nice wooden barriers that are blocking the construction. They have silk screened these like advertising, almost like ads. Like, and one of them is like a lizard and it says, and it's an actual like chameleon lizard. And it says, pardon our dust while we expand. we are currently in the process of A, expanding the underground lizard people chambers. B, building out the underground New World Order bunker. C, about to bring you some great restaurants and stores in this area. And so you like walk by and you're like, trolling us. They know. They're just having fun with us. They're putting lizards.
It's it had like a crown.
It had a crown. So anyway, they did take the paintings down in the Denver airport of the
Nazi soldier shoving the knife up some girl's butt, and then there's like a cycle of life and death. And I read that was one of the first conspiracy theories that I got big into in like the late 90s. And it was like they're going to paint over it. And they did paint over it a few times, and they kind of touched up certain little areas of it. But that
it's gone, man. It's gone now. But the gargoyle coming out of the suitcase in the baggage claim up top in the corner is still there.
And Bluesbifer still reigns supreme, still right?
Out there, yeah. Yeah. Out in the blue horse. It's like a 4-story horse. It's like a blue, huge ass, bright blue horse statue right at the front of the Denver airport with glowing red eyes, like demonic red glowing eyes. You're like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And by the way, it killed the guy. The guy that made it, it fell on him, killed him during the
construction. I mean, you kind of have to if you're going to have a Lucifer.
You have to. They're probably watch. We have to.
That's when the eye started to light up. Somebody
for the good of this New World Order. Oh, and by the way, there's a plaque that says New World Order Airport with a Freemason, all the Freemasonic signs. You could walk right by. I could show you exactly where it is. That's still there.
Ready for a cosmic conspiracy about Stanley Kubrick, moon landings, and the CIA? Go visit NASAComic.com.
NASAComic.com, CIA's biggest con. Stanley Kubrick put us on, that's why we're singing this song. I'm NASAComic.com. Go visit NASAComic.com. Go visit NASAComic.com. CIA's biggest con. Stanley Kubrick put us on. That's why we're singing this song. I'm NASAComic.com. Go visit NASAComic.com. Go visit NASAComic.com. Yeah, go visit NASAComic.com.
Never a Straight Answer is a 40-page comic about Stanley Kubrick directing the Apollo space missions. This is the perfect read for comic, Kubrick, or conspiracy fans of all ages. For more details, visit NASAComic.com.
Spread the word with propaganda packs, all for just $40 shipped at ParanoidAmerican.com.
Paranoid propaganda packs. We got facts on these speaker slaps. So grab yourself a stack and go attack with these paranoid propaganda packs.
These huge all-weather slaps will last in public for years to come. Remind citizens that birds are not real, self-immolation is an option, and might make you magnetic. Do your part and get a propaganda pack today from ParanoidAmerican.com.
Yeah, paranoid propaganda packs. We got facts on these sticker slaps. So grab yourself a stack and go attack with these paranoid propaganda packs.
What are you waiting for? Go to ParanoidAmerican.com right now and get a paranoid propaganda pack.
And all American stickers, cryptids, cults, sent killers, killers. We got all your favorite conspiracies.
All the
then more on our sticker sheets. Paranoid American stickers. They'll make you smile and snicker. False threats and secret societies. All of these and more on our sticker sheets.
Explore the unique with Paranoid American sticker sheets. Unearth tales of cryptids, cults, and mysteries through each sticker. These won't last long. Get yours now at ParanoidAmerican.com.
We're all American stickers. Cryptids, cults, and killers. Killers. We got all your favorite conspiracies.
All the
better and more on our sticker sheets. Paranoid American stickers. They'll make you smile and snicker. False flags and secret societies. All of these and more on our sticker sheets.
What the heck are you waiting for? Discover the extraordinary with Paranoid American sticker sheets. From cryptids in the night to cults out of sight, each sticker is a unique find. Get yours now at ParanoidAmerican.com.
Paranoid. I scribble my life away, driven to right to pay. Will it enlighten your brain? Give you the flight, my plane. Paper, the highs ablaze. Somewhat of an amazing feel when it's real to real. You will engage it. Your favorite, of course, the lord of an arrangement. I gave you the proper results to hit the pavement. If they get emotional, hey, maybe your language, your game, how they playing it well without Lakers. Evade them, whatever the cost, they are the shapeshift. Snakes get decapitated, met is the apex. Execution of flame, you out nuclear bomb, distributed at war, rather gruesome for eyes to see. Max them out, then I light my trees. Blow it off in the face, you're despising me for what though? Calculated and rather cutthroat. Paranoid American must be all the blood smoke for real. Lord, give me a day away, vacate. They wait around to hate whatever they say. Man, it's not in the least bit. We get heavy rotate when a beat hits. So thank us, you're welcome. Fuck the niggas for real, you're welcome. They ain't never had a deal. You welcome, man, they lacking appeal. You welcome, yet they doing it still. You welcome.